My name is Regina A. Gaylor-Unti. I use the A so that you'll see that all the capital letters spell Ragu because it's hard for people to remember my name.
Wow.
But it's also because I have a niece whose name is Regina M. Gaylor. She works for the federal government, and she does not want to be confused with me. I don't know what's up with that, but I'm on the faculty at Walden University, but this isn't Walden stuff. This is all me. So, speaking of disclosure, I also have no relationships to disclose. Well, I've been asked to talk a little bit about some of the grants that are out there with the stimulus bill, as well as how those kind of feed into the patient, whatever it's called, the Affordable Health Care Act. And then because I study advocacy and do advocacy training, I'll just do a little bit, not too much, because I don't want to get involved. Okay. You all have seen the signs on the highways for the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act, and you've heard people complaining about it during the campaign, and $787 billion pumped in, and $1 billion of it went to prevention and wellness. Secretary Sebelius had discretion over that. She took $350 million and used it for other things, good things, immunization and disease control, infection control. $650 million went into more into the communities. And what I want to talk about, I have this little thing, but I never use them, but someone told me I should bring it. Okay, there it is. All right. We're going to talk about the 300. Down here, you'll see, down at the bottom, I guess I should use it. What you're going to get out of this, I think, when I discuss this with you, is that you're going to see how the themes from the stimulus money feed into the themes that are coming into the community transformation grants. And that's what I want to talk about. So you'll see there's some money for media, there's some other money, but I want to talk about this $373 million and some of the ways that it's being used or will be used. Hopefully it'll still be funded. Communities Putting Prevention to Work, CPPW, has evidence-based strategies. The idea is to mobilize local resources. The idea is to do this all around prevention. You'll see the very important policy environmental change, and I'll show that to you in a minute. And every single one of these grants that has been awarded, $373 million, is all about obesity and tobacco. And some of you may have those grants. Yes? They told me to be interactive, so. Raise your hand if you have one of those. Oh, okay, just a few. That's good. All right, so 30 states and the District of Columbia share 44 community grants. They were awarded March 19th. Many of them really are not operational yet, but these are the states that were funded. And if you see that you weren't funded, think ahead, because there's some more money, supposedly, hopefully, coming, and you'll be able to submit for those grants. And there's the map. That should help you out. And I think you'll see that. See how the frontier states aren't funded? And down here, there's no funding here in these rural areas that the other Regina was talking about this morning. I like to say that. Dr. Benjamin. I think there'll be opportunities there for funding. So what I'm going to do now is talk about three of those programs and those innovative strategies in those programs that will probably help you in carrying over into the next grant. Okay, so the first one, there's a mistake on this slide. They didn't get $16 million. They got 12.4, but I didn't give them the money. But anyway, so what's different about this? On each one of these three slides, you'll see that I put environmental policy change and advocacy. Those are actually worked into each one of these grants. It's part of the funding. It needs to be there for those grants, and it will be too in the community transformation grants coming up. So they're involved in the Complete the Streets. Is anyone aware of Complete the Streets? It's completethestreets.org, and they're looking at multimodalism in terms of transportation. So we're looking at bicycles and wheelchairs and being able to walk and go everywhere. So they've actually fed this into their program. They're funded on obesity and tobacco. They want to, you know, they have a lot of things going on, but I've just teased out a few. They're also looking at food distribution, local food distribution. They want to change the way in which food is grown locally, big movements, and youth advocacy and tobacco policy. The next one I want to talk about is this. This is in Indiana. This is one of the small city rural grants. I used to live in Indiana, and I'm told that if you pick up if you're wearing boots and you wear your right boot, and you look at the sole, you see the shape of Indiana. I don't know, you have to think about that a minute. Indiana has a little point that's near Kentucky, and that's where Vandenberg County is, very near to Kentucky. Evansville, Indiana is there. They are building on a grant that they got from CDC, that the state of Indiana received from CDC-DASH a few years ago, the Coordinated School Health Program monies. You're aware of them? They're going to build on that. They're going to bring it into other schools, diocesan schools, schools outside Evansville. They're going to have safe routes to school. Again, it has these grants, as well as the grants coming up, you need to be looking at policy and environmental-based and evidence-based and advocacy and systems change. Bartholomew County is going to put into effect the adopting healthy meeting guidelines and physical activity and after-school programs. And just to make sure, I think a lot of people in here realize, physical activity is different than physical education. Remember, most grants coming out of CDC-DASH are about, not about having more PE, but about more physical activity. So it doesn't look like the PE from the old days. You know, Tai Chi is there and other things like that. Okay. This third grant is one of the ones that was received only on tobacco. And this is Orange County, not in California, but in Florida. This is their all-in. If you look on this website, allin.org, they're just ramping up. So you can see they're just, you know, they just got the awards. They're starting to get the money going. If you start noodling around on these websites, and at the end of this presentation, there are websites. And if you don't have it, my email's there, and I'll email it to you. And one of the websites is for these community, these CPPW grants. Okay. But this all in, the whole idea here, and I think it's kind of interesting, is to educate policymakers. And I guess, I don't know if anybody's going to talk about this, but you have to be careful, of course, in, if you're working for a county health department and what you say to a policymaker, because your advocacy shouldn't look like lobbying. So they're also going to support evidence-based pricing, implementing tobacco prevention and policy changes, and expanding smoke-free environments, including going into the parks. They'd like to make their parks smoke-free. Okay, so what does this have to do with the healthcare reform? Well, as you have already know and everything, we're trying to bend the cost curve towards prevention, and the way we're going to do that in prevention education is through increasing innovation. I think you saw this earlier. I think it's important to note that we finally have a funding stream for prevention education. It's kind of exciting. You heard, though, that $500 million went to $250 million in a hurry. And up by 2015, we'll have $2 billion each year thereafter. And I think one of the earlier speakers was talking about the need, really, to be vigilant about how that money is supposed to be on top of other funding. It's not supposed to be all our public health funding. And we're going to have to be vigilant about that. So one of the things, what I want to talk about now is community transformation grants. But very quickly, there's a lot out there for prevention, and they're going to roll in over time. There's an article in the end of my presentation that gives you a site, a link, so that you can see how they come in over every year. So for instance, here we go. This small business, in 2011, the idea here is that small businesses under 100 people will be able to have grants for workplace wellness programs. That presents an incredible opportunity in prevention education. The Child Obesity Demonstration Project, most of these projects are going to be coming out of Dr. Benjamin's office and the, I can't remember it now. You know, Michelle Obama's thing?
Let's move.
Okay. I think it's important. There are a few disease-specific initiatives. I'm just going to focus up here on the community transformation grants. But you can see them in this Mendasker article that has been listed at the end of my presentation. So you can go to it and read it. All these different disease-specific initiatives running out over the course of the time between 2010 and 2015. Okay, so we were promised $500 million, $250 million. Well, I guess I shouldn't say it went out the door, but it didn't go the same way that we wanted it to. So it wasn't for dedicated prevention education. I'd like to call your attention now to the community and critical prevention money, the $126 million. And this is the way that $126 million is divided. Now, this year, there's not going to be as many opportunities for this kind of community prevention education funding because the $74 million up there putting prevention to work, there may be funding available, but it may come out of this money for the 40. Some of those ARRA grants were not funded. You know, there were only 30 states who got funding. So we might go back and pick up some of those and spend $44 million doing it. But that'll be great. Okay. All these grants and the community transformation grants, have very similar underlying themes that kind of, I don't know if you want to say ensure, but they're very important in the funding of those grants. And they're very important in prevention education because they're bringing it back to the community. So, you remember, I think it's in one of your booklets that APHA sent you today, or put in your little thing today. There are five main themes here in the prevention part of this healthcare reform legislation. You want policy change. You want evidence-based. You want environmental change. And you want to see infrastructure and also, I can't remember the fifth one. Well, you want to see advocacy. But I think if you are going to write a grant, you'll look into those AARA grants because they are the precursors. They are the prelude to these grants. And you'll see how they fill in on one another. So let me give you a few more. And obesity and tobacco, that's all that's being funded at the moment, but it's going to move out from there to some other things. But why are those the big movements? Because we know that we can make some great systems change there. So if you know what's being funded, that's very helpful when you're writing your grants. It's also very helpful when you advocate, I think. So let me just talk a minute about that because advocacy is my thing. First of all, when you think about advocacy, I hope that you're thinking about those things we just saw on the last slide. So you're looking at policy change, you're looking at evidence base, you're looking at climate or environmental change, but you're also considering what people look for in advocacy. And because I don't really know what other people are saying yet, I don't want to say too much, but because I study advocacy and because I go around training, I just like to say that if you don't make this about the local issue that it really is, prevention education in these grants I've just shown you is very local. It's very dedicated to that area that you're studying. If you don't make it local, we're going to lose the money, and we're going to lose it fast. And I think most of you are probably, maybe not all of you, but you're a little down after Tuesday. I know I am. But I'm going to look upon it as an opportunity to educate people, because I always say you should educate, motivate, and advocate. And I think that, are you tapping your foot because you're telling me my time's up? I never know what the signal is. Okay, so you should definitely be educating others. I know I'll be sitting there at my Thanksgiving table discussing this with others. One of the things in this last slide, I'll show you in a minute, the Johans Amendment, which was a failed attempt to try to get at the prevention money and eradicate that $15 billion. And the problem is that we have not done a very good job of educating individuals, but I think Tom Harkin did. And I think Tom Harkin did a pretty good job in his little talk about the way this, why prevention works and why it's important. You know, things like if we spend a dollar on prevention, then we save about $5.60, I believe, on healthcare costs. So I think it's important that people that you're near and dear to learn about this. So I also would like to encourage you to train other people to advocate. And I'd also like to talk to you a little bit about the appropriation cycle. This law does not work unless it's funded, period. And I think what I'm hearing, and it disturbs me a little bit, is that we're waiting until, you know, something happens, and we shouldn't be. Instead, we have to start now. And the way to start now is by informing people what prevention does. and how it saves money, and how it's important to your community. And so what I was showing you in these grants is that all of the grants have, they're building on themes that are already there. In Boston, they're working on Complete the Streets. They're already working on that. In Indiana, they're working on things like healthier schools. They're already working on that. You've got grants on grants on grants. If you can show locally what's happening, will keep the prevention efforts going and it will increase the health of the people there, then you have a better chance of representatives listening to you later or listening to the people who will make the phone calls for you. So don't do it all yourself. Make, you know, tell grandma, tell your aunts and uncles, and I'm not kidding. I know that sounds really silly, but I'm not kidding. I had about 40 relatives call about the Johans Amendment. And seriously, because I talked them into it, because I explained it to them. So you can't just tell your students, and you can't just tell the other people in the public health department, but you have to tell them how it will impact them locally if that money goes away. Okay. And finally, power concedes nothing without a demand, and that's it, and I'm done. Okay. And I'll leave, should I leave the pointer?